today. I'm going to take a reading this morning from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles. That'll be right before the book of Ezra, and of course right after 1 Chronicles. Word on anyone's heart before I read? If not, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And I want to begin reading with verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Now, if you will, jump down to verse 29 with me. Verse 29 says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they were departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So I'm going to use that for the basis of my sermon today. My text verse is going to be found in the book of Psalms, the 119th chapter, and the 105th verse. And this is a verse that is well familiar to us, certainly during Vacation Bible School. And the 119th Psalm, the 105th verse says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For a few moments this morning, my sermon thought is the value of the book. The value of the book. I'm referring to the written word of God. I'm talking about the Holy Bible. I was told many years ago that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And I hope this morning that you see the truth in that statement. Brothers and sisters, it's been a crazy week. The election is over, so to speak. The ballots have been cast. There has been a proclaimed president and vice president elect. And regardless of how you cast your vote, as Christians, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we are under the obligation and we are under the command of Scripture to pray for those that are in authority. And I have in the past done that, and I will continue to do that into the future, and I want to encourage all of you to do the same. Throughout this election process, all candidates in their platforms, they expressed to us what they felt that this country needed going forward. And as Christians, as people of faith, We've always, I think, expressed what this nation needs in order to go forward and in order to prosper. And hopefully you're ahead of me and you know what that is. It's revival, right? Yeah, that's what we need. We need revival. God's Word is a necessity for revival. We know the Scripture in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. It sets the groundwork for revival, and it sets the groundwork for prosperity in any nation. And it said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. We get this. You know, God gave instructions that require a reaction from man, which in turn will get a response from God. And when we think about this, it should bring hope, and it should bring encouragement to any nation that understands what God's instructions are. And brothers and sisters, we can't have revival apart from the revealed will of God. And, you know, we can't have it without realizing the value of this book that we carry with us, that we have, the Word of God. And we can't please God, and we can't know what He requires of us unless we know what's in this book. And without knowing that and without having that, we won't have revival in this land. In my scripture reading this morning, Judah and Jerusalem was a land that was in chaos. They were idolaters. Kids, what that basically means is they worshipped other gods. They worshipped many different kinds of false gods. They didn't worship the true and the living God. And, you know, these people, they lived however they wanted to live. They were doing whatever it was that they wanted to do. Their country was in a political disaster. It was split. And they needed revival. And I'm still talking about Judah, but in reality, I could very well be speaking of the year 2020 instead of the year 634 BC. But revival came after a surprising find. The governor was charged with the repair of the house of the Lord. And during the restoration that was taking place, an amazing and an exciting discovery took place. God's holy word, the book of the law, it said, was discovered there in the temple. And what made that so amazing was, for decades, for I'm guessing some 75 years, God's word had been lost. How much of the book of the law was recovered? Was it the Ten Commandments? Was it the book of Deuteronomy, which was sometimes called the book of the law? Or was it the entire Pentateuch? Was it the entire first five books of the Old Testament? Well, I don't have the answer to that because Scripture doesn't tell us. Whatever the case, what we do know that an exciting account of the discovery and the significant impact that it had upon a nation is given to us right here in Scripture. Prior to this great find, God's Word wasn't present. It was lost. And the people were living their lives without the guidance of the Word of God. They were living in sin. They were living without conviction of living in that sin. They were the children of God living without the Word of God. What we see in our world today, I believe an argument could be made that it seems the book is lost today. Is God's Word lost today? People are living their lives any way that they want to live it. They're living their lives without God's guidance. Christians are living outside of God's Word. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, check the statistics. A recent Gallup poll revealed that two-thirds, I want you to hear this, two-thirds of Christians in America today think that they don't need to attend church services. Come back tonight and you'll see how real that is. Lifeway research found that 80% of Christians, 80% of Christians do not read their Bible daily. They go days without picking up their Bible. 80%. It's reported that 43% of Christians buy at least one lottery ticket every year. 76% of Christians have seen R-rated movies. 27% of Christians have gotten a divorce. And the statistics go on and on, but based on the statistics, what I'm trying to say today is that many Christians claim to be people of the Word, but they live their life like they don't read it. In my reading, the book was found and revival was about to come. Revival was about to take place in Judah. Revival was about to take place in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, our nation needs to recover, or it needs to rediscover, if you will, God's Word today. We need to get back to the book. God's Word needs to be proclaimed. Sin needs to be called sin. Amen, brothers and sisters? In my reading, the recovered book of the law was then read. It was read to King Josiah. And I want you to notice, and I hope you picked it up in the reading, but it was read to King Josiah, and God's Word did something to the king. Verse 19 told us, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothing. Sitting there, listening to God's Word being read, King Josiah suddenly came under conviction. The fear of God and of his judgment attacked this young king's heart, and he began to weep in an act of mourning and in an act of repentance. Josiah tore his clothing or his robe. The reading of God's Word had a powerful effect on King Josiah. Paul told us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 17, he said, "For the Word of God is quick and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart." God's Word does that. It affects people when they hear the Word of God, when they read the Word of God. Paul, in his writings to Timothy, referring to God's Word, he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And he went on to tell us how it was to be used by us. God's Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing." And hearing by what? And hearing by the Word of God. There is value to this book that I'm sharing from you today. Brothers and sisters, we need to read the book. Why? Because it holds value for us. It's not enough to just have this book. It's not enough to just have this book laying around. It's not enough. There's no power in the book itself. And what I mean by that is, it's the words. It's what's contained within the covers of this book. This is the inspired Word of God. It's the inspired Spirit of God that changes lives. It's what's in this book that changes life. It's the very Word of God. Reading this book is hearing God speak. And we need a word from God. And we need to seek out a word from the Lord. It's all right here. It's all right before us. But I have to tell you something about this. Reading this book, it'll lead to conviction. And I'm talking to both the unsaved this morning, and I'm talking to the saved. Reading this book will bring conviction. And listen this morning, that is not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing. In fact, I'll go as far as to say, reading this book and being convicted by what's in this book, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we need some good old Holy Spirit conviction in our lives and in our church. And I'm not just talking about Crossroads here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about in all of our churches. Churches across this country need some good old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction. We need people to open their hearts to the Word of God. We need people to quit blaming other people and accept responsibility for their own sin. We need people of the book. We need people who will read the book for what it is. And what it is the very Word of God. Now, conviction will lead to something. Conviction will lead to inquiring of God. Conviction leads to a calling out to God. It'll draw us to a sincere heart of repentance, both the unsaved and the saved. This book, the Word, brothers and sisters, is to be shared. This book, this Word, is to be proclaimed. The book, the Word of God, it got a hold of King Josiah. He was torn with conviction. He started inquiring of the Lord. He knew the country needed to hear the Word of God from this book. Verse 29 and verse 30 told us that he called the entire nation together to hear God's Word. Here's what it said again, verse 29. Then the king sent and he gathered together all of the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all of the people, great and small, didn't matter what their status was or what position of power they held, but all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book. All the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm just going to tell you, we need the book to get a hold of us. We need the book to get a hold of us. We need to be open to God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. But we need to be open to God speaking to us through His Word. We need to be convicted by the Word of this book. And in doing so, we need to inquire of the Lord. We need to proclaim God's Word. And based on the polls or the surveys that I shared with you, we need Christians to hear how they are going against God. And I know that's hard to hear. And I'm not judging any of you. I'm too busy judging my own self. But read God's Word and you'll find out what I'm talking about. You'll understand it. And we need to do it as we do it for ourselves. But as I'm sharing God's Word with you today, I hope that you're receiving it in the way that I'm intending it. I'm trying to share God's Word to you this morning with a boldness, but I'm also trying to do it out of a spirit of love for you. Because I want what's best for you. And what's best for you is to be in the center of God's will. That's what's best for you. And to be there, we got to know what God's will is. And the goal, of course, in encouraging people in the book is that they'll be reconciled back to God. Those that are away from God and living their life as they want and doing what they want to do, just like these people were. Somebody needs to bring to their attention that that's going against what the Word of God says and that God wants them to come back to Him. And even if you're here every single Sunday, if you're not where God needs you to be, you need to get there. And you can get there through the encouragement of God's Word to get back to that narrow path. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 19, he said this. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You know that, don't you? The Lord knoweth them that are His. And then he went on to say, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We get that, right? Everyone who knows the name of Christ, he says, stop sinning. Depart from sin. And Paul was urging Timothy to be the kind of person that Jesus could use for his highest purpose. That's you and I. God wants to use us for his highest purpose for a time like this, a time like we're in today. Verse 21 said, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Brothers and sisters, we're to strive to be that. We are to strive to be that vessel of honor for the Lord in the way that we live our life, in the things that we do, the way we conduct ourselves. The world needs to see that we read the book and that we understand what's contained in there. I want you to notice what happened as the book was read. As the book was read, it was obeyed. That's the intent of God's Word, you know. God wants His Word to be obeyed. It's God's words. He wants His Word to be obeyed. The king, it said, made a covenant to God. Kids, what's a covenant? It's agreeing to do some specific things. A covenant, it's a pledge or a promise that you're going to do something. And the king made a covenant with God. Verse 31, King Josiah made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. Could have stopped right there, but it didn't. In case anybody was confused about what he meant by walking after the Lord, he explained that. He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart, with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which were written in this book. He vowed to follow the Lord, and he vowed to keep God's word. And you know, I hope you noticed, this was not a half-hearted commitment. You know, God's not looking for half-hearted commitments. He wishes we were neither hot nor cold. He wants us to pick a side. He doesn't want us straddling the fence. And as King Josiah was saying, he just basically said, "I'm going to commit to this." And how did he say it? He said, "with all his heart and with all his soul." But you know, it wasn't just about him. Because the Word of God went on to say that he then took the Word to the people. He took the Word to the people, and what happened? And caused them to stand in it. In other words, he caused them to commit to the covenant as well. That's what God's people need to do. It doesn't, you know, we can benefit individually from the book, but God wants us all collectively to be together. And Brother Danny read for our Sunday school devotional this morning about how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's talking about harmony. It's talking about unity in the purposes in which God has called us, and the duties and responsibilities that he's called us to. Brothers and sisters, we need to make, or maybe some just need to renew, our covenant with the Lord. We need to vow to follow the Lord. We need to see the value of this book that's before me. We need to vow to keep his words with all our heart and with all of our soul. We need to take this word to the people, to a lost and dying world. We need to take the word to God's people who have strayed away and have forgotten about the book and what it instructs and are doing what they want to do. We need to remove, as it said, all the abominations in our life. Well, what is that? Well, I guess the best way I can describe it is all those things that disgust. I guess we don't think about the things we do that disgust God. But we need to remove all the abominations in our life. And we need to hold true to following God. And we need to hold true to following His Word and the encouragement of His Word, as well as the correction and the instructions of His Word. And in doing so, what's the best that we can hope for? What's the best that we can expect? Well, verse 33 said, "And all his days, all of King Josiah's days and all the people that were there, and all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Brothers and sisters, you think about that. What a sad world we'll live in, and already are living in part, for people who have departed from following the Lord. You know, that's our human nature. Our human nature battles with us. We're in a spiritual warfare every day with Satan and things of the world. So we need God's Word to speak to our hearts. We need our brothers and sisters in love to encourage us in the teachings and the practices of God's Word. We need to encourage one another to take this Word to others so that we will be in a time and a place where we depart not from following the Lord, the God of our fathers. I think there's a danger of that today, and we've got to be on guard against it. The book, the Word of God, what happened? It brought revival to Judah. It brought revival to Jerusalem. And the book, this Holy Bible, it can bring revival to us. It can bring revival to our nation today in many different ways, I believe, if we'll but read it, if we'll just let it speak to our hearts, if we'll just obey it and abide by it. A world without the Word would be a world of darkness. It'd be a world of immorality. It'll be a world of injustice. Isaiah said in the 40th chapter, in the 8th verse, he said, "The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." This Word is going to stand. There will be many people that maybe forsake the Word of God, and that's what I'm trying to encourage against this morning. But whatever happens, for however long the Lord allows this world to stand, when He comes back, His Word will still be here. The question will be, how many people will be following the Word of God? How many people will be invested or into the Word of God and reading the Word of God? Jeremiah said in the 15th chapter and the 16th verse, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Can you say that this morning? "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." In other words, I read them, I studied them, I applied them. "And they was to me joy and rejoicing in my heart." I know some of you know what this is talking about. I know you've been in God's Word and you've read God's Word. And there's just some times when you're studying, Brother Danny and Brother Myron and Sister Amber and Brother Randy and Sister Liz and Sister Lisa. I'm sure, like me, when I'm studying and preparing for Sunday, sometimes you get into God's Word and there is a joy and a rejoicing that you receive from being in God's Word. I got to tell you, I've had some of the best services sitting in my study by myself. And then I came here and preached it. Nothing. Maybe it was for me in my study. I don't know. But I thought, boy, Lord, I thought that was going to go over way better because I got such a blessing out of it. But see, we all receive things differently. We all receive God's Word and it speaks to us differently. But there is a joy and there is rejoicing that can be found in our hearts when we read God's Word. And, you know, that's my message. I want us to think about, if nothing else, when you leave here today, I want you to think about the value of the book. I want you to think about the value of God's holy Word and what it means to us and what it can mean to us. May we all this morning consider the value of this book. May we view it as the psalmist did when my text first said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." My encouragement, brothers and sisters, however you've viewed the value of this book, my message tonight is to encourage you, let's pick it up. Let's read it. Let's apply it. And if we'll do that, we're going to see a revival sweep across this great land of ours because we'll be better in tune with the Lord and He'll help us to get through whatever the future holds. I don't know what the future is going to hold. But I'm prayerful that God will be in it and that I'll be obedient to what He'd have me to do in my place in whatever comes in the future. And there's value in this book. This book is precious. And, you know, it makes a great table ornament, I know. I'm afraid to even think about how many Bibles I have in my house. And, you know, I just never get rid of them. I've got every Bible that I had since I started preaching. And I'm about due to get another one because this one's falling apart. But they got to be opened. We got to get into the pages of it because there's great value. That's my message. May God bless you today. Appreciate everyone that's come to be with us today. And come back and be with us tonight if you can. Before we dismiss today, is there any word on anyone's heart? Anything at all? Thank you, sister, for that song. A beautiful song. You sang it beautifully today. Thank you, Brother Allen, for leading the choir. Sister Dawn for playing. Thank all of you for coming today and sharing in the service with us. Singing when we sang, prayed when we prayed, listening to God's word. You'll feel better about being in the house of the Lord when you leave here today than when you came. Should. Anytime we're able to gather together and worship together, it's a great blessing. Any other word? If not, we'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Bless you, Brother Philip. Yeah. All we got to do is rebuke him, right? He'll flee from us. Someone else. Appreciate that word. Is there another? I'm in no hurry, but I don't want to belabor the service either. If we've done everything we needed to do, said everything we needed to say, then it's time to dismiss. Anything else on your hearts? If you didn't get a bulletin, pick one up on the way out. A lot of things coming up in there. Next Sunday night is our third Sunday singing service. Brother Myron's going to be leading that service. I'm going to be away. Come out and support him and support the singing service. And let's be prayerful for one another this week. Be prayerful for those that are physically sick. But let's also never forget those that are spiritually sick, those that are unsaved, that need Jesus. Let's pray for the conviction that they need in their heart to find the Lord. No other word will stand. We'll be dismissed. Brother Randy Wimberly, would you dismiss us, please, brother?